Hey everyone, it's Colin. How's it going? I thought about doing this as a follow-up episode, but I figured it would just be a bit more talking and not so much showing, so this one makes more sense, I think, as a podcast. Way back in the spring of 2020, I did an episode about setting up a small work-from-home setup, like home office kind of a thing. Because myself and a lot of people who at least work in office jobs suddenly found themselves needing to work from home because of the whole pandemic. And many people, myself included, had never done that before. I mean, there are, of course, people who've been able to work from home either part or full time for years, but that was really more the exception than the norm up to that point. So a lot of us found ourselves kind of charting new territory in terms of what it means to go to work, not just what our kind of daily process would look like, but where we would go and how we would do that work. And I feel like I made a fairly easy transition into it, thankfully due to some forethought, I guess, partly due to, you know, the way I do my job and how I have to support my company and that sort of thing. And I know it was rough for others in multiple ways. So I figured this time, you know, maybe we kind of go through and I can tell you what I learned. If you're still working from home or maybe now have the opportunity to, on a more frequent basis, work from home and you're struggling or needing ideas or whatever, maybe this will help, hopefully. If you're an expert in working from home, if you've done this for years and years, do please feel free to chime in, you know, in the comments with your experiences and any additional information you can provide. But I'm hoping to at least hit all of kind of the major points of the things that I either had to learn from others or learn the hard way myself. First thing, of course, was just the setup, right? I mean, a lot of people who work office jobs have been transitioning to using laptops instead of full desktop setups at their desk in the office for quite a while now. And that part makes it a fairly easy transition because, you know, now you don't really have to worry quite so much about equipment. But what I learned from the occasional work from home day in years past, generally when it was like a really bad snow day, you know, a blizzard comes through and traffic is just backed up or, you know, roads are impassable or whatever. And my boss says, you know what, everybody just work from home today because it's not worth the risk. Days like that, I would just set up my work laptop on the corner of my main desk and just do the best I could. Ergonomically, that's horrible, right? And I knew as soon as the semi-permanent, I'll call it work from home mandate from my boss came down in the spring of 2020, that I wouldn't be able to do that for very long. And I had a gut feeling that this work from home thing wouldn't just be for like a month or two, and then suddenly we're back in the office. I think a lot of people wished it was that simple, but I mean, here we are, like what, 18 months later, and I'm still working from home, as are many other people. So back then, I kind of realized that I was going to be in this for the long haul, and I needed to get as close of a setup for my work from home desk as I did to my desk in the office. So I took home a monitor. I already had a spare keyboard and mouse. And I covered some of this in that video that I produced. I got another desk. I just went out. Thankfully, like the timing worked out perfect because I'd like to say my boss said, you know, everybody, I don't want you to come back into the office tomorrow on like a Wednesday, right? So it was like a, you know, by Monday, you need to be working from home full time. And if you can, don't even show up tomorrow. Just grab everything you need and get out of here. You know, get out of the office. So that, and I think that was like on a Wednesday. So Thursday, I had to go back into the office, you know, tidy up some stuff because I work in IT, you know that. I've got a hardware component to my job, right? So I had a little bit of that to do. But I also packed up like spare monitor, all that kind of stuff, took it home. I worked like off the corner of my desk that Friday, but Thursday night, I had the presence of mind to realize, you know, a lot of other people are probably going to start working from home in a hurry. So I hit up IKEA's website and placed an order for the desktop and the legs and like a cable management tray and a couple other accessories for store pickup because they wouldn't ship that kind of stuff. And they give you a couple of days to pick it up. So I placed that order on a Thursday, and then Friday evening when I was done working, I drove out to IKEA to pick it up. There was a long line of people picking stuff up, and the next morning I checked inventory. So Saturday morning, out of curiosity, I checked IKEA's inventory, and they were completely sold out of anything you could use to make a desk, right? So the tops, the legs, all that stuff. Just completely cleared out. So the timing worked out really, really well. And I think that was in some ways like the most important part of the hardware when it comes to the setup was having a discrete place to work. So many of my coworkers ended up having to set up their laptops at the end of their dining room tables, you know, or something like that, sitting on their couch, working on their laptops off their lap because they didn't have anything set up. And while if IKEA was totally sold out of everything and I had no way to make a side desk just for work from home, and I'll get to the importance of that in a second, I still could have figured something out because just for years, I've had a desk at home, right? My own desk that I've got my own personal computer and all that junk and everything. I mean, you've seen it in videos, right? So I could have rearranged that or figured something out if I had to and at least had some discrete place to work where I'm not like setting up on the end of the dining room table every day. But what I've learned is even like literally over a year later, people still haven't bothered to set up their own work from home desk. Some of my coworkers are still working off the end of their dining room table. Now, I can understand if you live in a small house or a small apartment or whatever, you may not have a spare bedroom or a spare corner of the living room or something to set up a big desk and a monitor and all that kind of stuff. But you do need to have something that's fairly ergonomic that you can work at, right? And the chair is an important thing. I got a lot of comments on that previous video about like, why didn't I talk about the chair? And that's because the chair, one, is one I already had. And two, that's a very personal choice. Some people don't even want a chair. They want to do a standing desk or a sit stand desk or whatever. And so I didn't really want to go down that rabbit hole, you know, drag the video out. But I can tell you, if you are the type of person who wants a chair, either part or full time, get a good one. Don't drop the $50, $100 on, you know, the really cheap kind of plasticky, flimsy task chairs, they call them. You want a proper work chair. And the one I have is also from IKEA. I've had it for over a decade. It was from IKEA's business line of furniture. It's really weird. I think they're kind of getting away from that, which is unfortunate because it was a higher quality of furniture that they had specifically for selling to businesses for like office furnishings. And this chair that I have, it's all metal. It's got really nice padding and bolstering and everything in it. It came with like a 10-year warranty, which is insane for an IKEA product, right? Everyone thinks that everything that company makes is just cheap junk, but this thing came with a 10-year warranty and it costs like $300. And I need to knock on wood because I'm going to say this thing has done really well for me, right? I literally sit on this chair every day of the week for over a decade now, and it's held up fantastic, and it's proven ergonomic, lots of adjustability and that sort of thing. If this chair needed to be replaced for whatever reason, I would easily go out and spend at least that much money, if not more, on another highly ergonomic, comfortable, you know, business grade chair. I've heard of people dropping like $1,000 or more on a really good actual office chair from like Steelcase or Herman Miller or something like that. And considering how much I use it, even though that's a lot of money, I'd seriously consider it if I had to. So that's, you know, one of the things that you need to realize, I guess, is, you know, it's worth it to spend the money in some cases. You know, it may be tough to justify, but at the same time, like, if it's a good quality product, you're going to find a use for it long term, right? Now, I'm using the same chair for both my personal desk and my work from home desk. So even then, it's easy to justify because it's the same chair for both. If it was just a work from home chair, if you're working full time, that's, you know, easy to say spending the money, even if that's all you use it for, other than personal use. If you were only working from home 1 or 2 days a week, then maybe that would be a good case for doing a sit stand kind of a thing. You could cheap out on the chair in that case, and, you know, be able to not really have it impact you quite as much. You know what I mean? Like, if you're not sitting on the chair all the time, then I guess it doesn't need to be as good a quality. But that's just something to really think about, is the ergonomic aspects to your work. Another thing is, I've got a big monitor, and I ended up actually swapping out the monitor. The one that I showed in the video was a 24-inch. That was a 1920 by 1200 resolution. That was just a spare monitor that we had in the office because I was expecting to maybe do more split time between work at home and work in the office. I figured I'd be in the office more often than I anticipated, and I was still allowed to do that, right? Because my boss is like, well, you still have physical work to do, so if you have to go into the office to keep, you know, the infrastructure running, then you do that. But I found I really only had to go into the office like 1 day a week, and that still kind of holds true. So what I did was, on a subsequent visit, I swapped the monitors out and I brought home my daily driver monitor, which is it's another Dell, but it's a 27-inch. It's 2560 by 1440. So it's what they call the quad HD displays. And I love it just because of the screen real estate. Another thing that a lot of people commented on in that previous video was, well, why not two monitors, or why not use the display on the laptop in addition to an external monitor? I just don't work that way. I've always been a one big monitor kind of person. I know some people love having multiple monitors and spreading the workout and all that. I feel like it's hard for me to focus. When that's the case, I like having everything just presented right in front of me, you know, single pane of glass. So that's another personal thing, but it's definitely worth looking into, because the main problem that I had when I would set the laptop up on the desk before I had this permanent setup was a lot of like neck strain and eye strain, right? Because laptop screens are only so big, and the laptops sit flat on your desk. And so now you're leaning your head down to look at the screen, and the screen is physically smaller, but I still need a decent resolution on it just for the, you know, the real estate. So I'd have the thing kind of cranked up. So now the text is small, so I'm leaning in even closer to read it. And it just got very uncomfortable, despite the fact that I was sitting in a good chair at a desk. So having a separate monitor where the screen is vertical, it's a comfortable distance away, it's a good size, so that text is at a nice legible, you know, kind of a resolution. And it also allows me to have a good keyboard and mouse set up in front of it. That really has been the happy medium, is treating my laptop kind of more like a portable desktop where I take it back and forth between the two. But I have a similar keyboard, mouse, monitor set up at my desk at work. So that, I feel like, has also kind of staved off a lot of, shall we say, fatigue from working from home. One thing that I did enjoy when I would work in the office every day is that I'd be able to get up and walk around, right? Like, I didn't have everything right at my desk. Some people, they just stay at their desk in their cube all day. A lot of my work was getting up, walking around, going from, you know, one room to another, one building to another, checking on stuff, installing equipment, making repairs, that sort of thing. So I'd get some steps in and it'd feel kind of fresh. So what helps me at least kind of focus, and this is a challenge for some people, is having a separate desk just for work from home. And this is something I can't recommend highly enough. Don't try to set up alongside maybe your own personal rig, right? Don't have two monitors next to each other where maybe like the left one is your work computer and your right one is your personal one. Because then you lose that sense of separation. That is a common complaint that a lot of people are starting to have, is they're feeling like work is bleeding too much into their personal life, right? And they need that separation. And when you go into an office, you have that plus some buffer on either end from commuting. So most people would spend at least some amount of time in the car, on the bus, on the train, whatever, where that's like their personal time. And then they'd go into the office and they would just do work all day. And then they'd go home and not be at work anymore. Well, if your work is at your home, some people found it hard to separate the two in two different ways. In one way, they'd feel it hard to separate in that you've always got something going on at work, right? Emails are always coming in. People are always needing you to do stuff. So you'd feel compelled to keep working, even when you shouldn't be, right? You know, it's 7 or 8 o'clock at night. Maybe you're just goofing around on your own personal stuff, but you get this kind of nagging sensation in the back of your mind. Well, I should check my work email just in case, right? Next thing you know, you see this email. Hey, can you do this for me? And you just feel compelled to do it. Why you feel compelled to do that, that's probably a complete separate discussion. I think in some ways, maybe it's a little bit of guilt because you're working from home and you feel you owe your employer something. In other ways, it's because you don't want to look like you're a slacker. So you want to keep engaging. And this is a big issue just with work in America and a lot of other countries in general, is this compulsion to keep working and not have that personal time. So having a separate desk for work from home really helps from that, right? Because you can just turn away from it. And mine is at a right angle from my main desk intentionally so that I can literally turn away from the desk. The monitor goes to sleep and I just ignore it. When I'm done working at the end of the day, it's effectively off. That's all just shut down. And if someone needs me because something blows up, I have a work cell phone, right? They know how to call me. The other reason why it's nice having that separation is kind of in the other direction, where maybe you feel compelled to do personal stuff during work. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, because if you're working from home, obviously you've got more time that you can devote to working from home because your commute has gone to zero. So some people have found themselves working longer hours, right? They would start at the time that they normally would be getting in the car, and they finish at the time they would normally be getting out of the car when they get home again. But, you know, you need mental breaks throughout your day. So I don't think it's necessarily bad to be taking those breaks. And what would you do at work if you were taking those breaks? You'd probably wander around. You'd probably BS with your coworkers, you know, head over to the snack machine or sit outside or whatever, right? You do non-work kind of stuff. So if you want to be productive during the day for personal stuff, I think that's okay to some extent. But I know there are other people that can't help but get distracted by their personal stuff, right? Maybe they start a process that takes some time for work, and there's a point where it's like, you know, maybe they click a button and have to wait for something to finish processing, wait for a report to generate or something like that. And they figure, okay, well, you know, that's just doing its thing. So I'm just going to go and do this other thing real quick. And next thing you know, an hour has gone by and they've been sucked into playing a video game or, you know, doing the dishes or whatever. They come back and their report has been waiting for them for the last 45 minutes, right? You know, and they kind of lose track of time. So I think having that separation is also kind of nice because it can keep you focused on work when you need to be. And so you only back away from work consciously. You don't, you know, get distracted out of the corner of your eye by your other personal monitor, you know, something lighting up, you know, you get a text message or an email or something in Discord or whatever, you know, and you can go chat with your friends for a bit. And suddenly, you know, you realize 2 hours have gone by and your boss is yelling at you. Hey, where are you? I need you for this, you know. So that level of separation, I think, is really important. And not just the physical separation, but kind of like I talked about, the mental separation, right? You are working during your work hours. You are not working when you're not at your work hours. And that's something that I've always had a strong sense of. I've always liked to separate my personal life and my work, but I know some people have it the other way, where it's hard for them to do that, or they like to have the two together so that they can have even more flexibility. And that's something really nice that work from home has afforded us, is that level of flexibility, right? I'll freely admit that during my lunch break for work, I've been known to just go outside and go for a walk, you know, or go for a bike ride, or, you know, go vacuum the house or whatever, right? Just work on personal life kind of stuff during that time when I'm not expected to be working. And so having those boundaries is something that I think everyone who's in this position of working from home, I think they need to evaluate that. What are those boundaries? Where are they? Do your coworkers know what your office hours are, you know, in quotation marks? Are they willing to accept those boundaries and not bother you when it's 8 o'clock at night? You know, maybe they're workaholics, but you're not, or vice versa. You know, maybe you need to evaluate and respect your coworkers' boundaries. Maybe you're a workaholic, or maybe you want to work a different set of hours than your coworkers do. I've always worked an earlier shift, right? I start at 7 in the morning and work until 4:30-ish or so. Some of my coworkers, you know, when they start, when I get new coworkers or whatever, they don't realize that, no, I'm not still sitting there at 5 p.m. waiting to answer their chats. So they try to email or chat me at 5 o'clock. And by 5 o'clock, I'm outside off on a run around the park or, you know, working on cooking dinner or whatever. No, I'm not going to be there right away. And eventually they learn, oh, he works earlier and that sort of thing. So I guess it kind of goes both ways. You need to evaluate your own schedule and expectations, and you should also at the same time be cognizant of the schedule and expectations of your coworkers so that you mesh. And, you know, real talk with our coworkers is kind of difficult sometimes, you know, so you don't be afraid to tell your coworkers when they do reach out to you at 8 o'clock and they're working, because that's maybe when they want to work, or they're a workaholic. And you're sitting there trying to watch a YouTube video or play a video game or whatever, don't be afraid to tell them, hey, you know, I'm going to take care of this for you in the morning because I'm not working right now. Despite the fact that I'm at home, I'm not working right now. And that's something I think a lot of people also need to keep in mind, is in some ways your employer doesn't really, you don't owe your employer anything, I guess is the best way to say it. Like from a work from home, they are in their best interest, especially throughout this pandemic, to allow you to do that. Because ultimately, in the end, it gets us over the pandemic faster. I know some offices resisted as long as they possibly could because they have this old school management mentality of butts in seats, right? Where as long as your boss saw you sitting at your desk, they knew that you'd be working and not screwing around. And they had this great fear about work from home because they can't see you there. Oh, they must be screwing around instead of getting stuff done. So, you know, just because your work relented in the case of some employers, or were ambitious about it in the case of others, just because they did that and allowed you to work from home, should you be thankful to some extent that you can do that? Yeah, that, you know, you actually have a job that's capable of working from home, because unfortunately there are a lot of people whose jobs don't afford them that luxury because of just the work that they do. But at the same time, don't feel like your employer can walk all over you over it, or that you know, need to go out of your way to work extra hard to prove yourself. Because the world is shifting in the way that it approaches work. And I think this is a good thing, where it's looking not necessarily at the hours that you work, especially if you're like a salaried, you know, white collar kind of employee, office worker. But even other professions, I think, are going to start heading this direction too. It's not so much, you know, the number of hours that you work, it's more the work output. Are you getting your tasks done on time and to the level of quality that is expected of you? If the answer is yes, then that's really all the more they can ask, right? You know, they set a baseline for, we need you to get these tasks done by this date. Here's what they should look like in the end result. And as long as you hit all those goalposts, that should be all the more really that matters. If you happen to be really, really good at your job, and this is a big argument against this mentality, is that it gives too much leeway to the rock stars, to the people who are really skilled at their job, right? If you manage to get through your tasks much faster than the deadline, right? Like, you know, maybe you're afforded 2 weeks to get your work done and you get it done in a week. Some people think it's bad that you can then just kind of sit there and not really do work for a week. And if you're working from home, of course, the temptation is that you'll just spend that time on personal projects. And my answer to that is, if you're that good at your job, where you're constantly beating deadlines and those deadlines are realistic, then you aren't in the right position to begin with. Right? That means you are more capable than the position you are in. You should be getting moved up and being given more challenging work. I think that's the way that we do it. And I know a lot of people are feeling kind of frustrated in their positions, not just because of their pay, but their lack of upward mobility and that sort of thing. And I think by moving to that way of measuring work, especially with how well that way of measuring work meshes with work from home, I think that's how we kind of break out of that cycle. I think that's how the next generation can finally propel their way, you know, up the corporate ladder or into bigger, better things by realizing that, you know, they're not just sitting there at their desk for 40 hours a week. You know, maybe they're sitting at their desk 40 hours a week, but, you know, 20 hours of that week, they're sitting there kind of quietly playing Game Boy or whatever because they finished their work early. Let's find those people, let's embrace their capabilities, and let's get them doing stuff that's a better fit for their skill level. And work from home really offers opportunities like that. And we're going to see a continuing of that shift. I know a lot of people, especially in IT, but even in a lot of other professions, for them, the opportunity to work from home is going to become not just a nice thing, but kind of a requirement. I think we're finally starting to see what a lot of people have wanted for a long time come to fruition, and that is that kind of separation, that ability for workers to have a life, better work-life balance. And even my own employer is getting that. My fear was that originally when, you know, my work said, okay, everyone needs to work from home if it's possible for you to do so. Obviously, like, we've got facilities people and other, you know, positions that require either full or part-time, you know, in the office kind of work, my own position included. But as much as you can, you know, they said work from home just because it's safer. Well, not too long ago, HR sent an email saying, you know, we're launching this new program where we're going to trial out permanent work from home. Because, you know, one, you all have been doing it for like the last 18 something months. And two, and they said very clearly, it's because we want to make sure that we can attract and retain talent. And by offering work from home, that's going to be something that people expect. And so they're doing it. And, you know, you had to fill out a form to explain, you know, you want to keep working from home even after things settle down, which unfortunately at the time I'm recording this, things haven't really started settling down yet. But, you know, just fill out this paperwork and you submit it to your boss. And then your boss basically says yes or no. And then, you know, you're good. And there are expectations, of course, of people who are working from home, like you need to be able to be reached in a timely manner. And if something does blow up and your job requires it, that you can go back into the office, you know, at short notice, right? I mean, they're not opening this up widely where I could move out of state. Not that my particular position working in IT would really allow me to do that. I'm not going to drive for days to go back to the office to physically plug cables in or whatever, you know what I mean? But, you know, there are some kind of reasonable stipulations to it, of course, but I think a lot of people are going to start seeing that opportunity. And it isn't for everybody. And so that's, I guess, the last thing to cover is that, you know, maybe you have been working from home, but you hate it. You know, maybe you're the kind of person who likes to socialize with others. And that's okay. I'm not. I'm perfectly happy sitting here working from home all day because I know how to communicate with people in other ways, right? We've got phones, we've got video calls, we've got text chat, we've got emails, all that sort of stuff. And when I do occasionally go into the office, if people want to, you know, shoot the breeze for a little while, I'm happy to do that too. But don't feel like you have to keep doing this. I mean, you should, as long as it helps keep you safe throughout this pandemic, right? But when things go back to normal, just because a lot of your coworkers are doing work from home, I don't think you should necessarily feel like you have to if you don't want to. If you still have the option of having a desk at work and you like that separation, maybe that's the only kind of separation you can get. You know, maybe try as you might, you just can't help yourself from working late or from getting distracted with personal projects during the day or whatever. Maybe you need that commute time, that physical distance, to put yourself in the right mindset of now I'm at work and I'm working versus now I'm at home and I'm doing personal stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. And so I think a lot of people have just been kind of pulled into this and pulled along feeling maybe a little helpless in some ways. And other people have seen this as this wonderful opportunity. It's like, oh, finally I get to work from home. I've wanted this for years and the boss man is finally letting me do it, you know, and that sort of thing. I think there's a lot of kind of internal reflection that we all need to do about this, about what do we even want to get out of work? You know what I mean? Like it's prompted some really big philosophical questions. Just this simple thing, I'm not going to the office anymore in terms of a separate building. You know, the office is in your home. It's prompted a lot of people to rethink, like, what am I even doing? Why am I doing this? What's my purpose? What does this work even mean? Do I even like doing this work? That's that sort of stuff. And that's all healthy, because otherwise I feel like we just get wrapped up in the day-to-day of what we do. We fall into a pattern that's really difficult to break out of. Some people are absolute creatures of habit, myself included. And sometimes you need a big external event to shake you up like that. And this one really kind of shook me up. It's simultaneously an opportunity, but it's also gotten me kind of questioning as well. Like, you know, where do I go from my current position? Am I happy with what I do? Do I just naturally kind of, you know, ride it out and see where it goes in the future as technology evolves? Or do I get a lot more aggressive and try to pursue other things, you know, professionally? Or do I kind of flip the mentality around and think of a job as just the way to make money to pay bills and get personal fulfillment from other things? I think that's one thing, and we're getting a little bit away from the, you know, the topic of work from home specifically, but I think that's one thing that a lot of people have preconceived notions about. You know, some people think, well, you know, your job should be your life and your career should be what defines you, and when you die at your funeral, they should be like, oh, he was a really good salesperson, or she was a really good engineer, or whatever. And, you know, maybe that's true, but is that really the only thing you want to be known for? Maybe there's other stuff that is equally important to you. And with the time that you might get back not commuting, or during those little breaks during your workday because of working from home, maybe you can use that time for those other purposes. As always, thanks for listening.